Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now on the D&M Leasing Hotline, we bring to you Texas Rangers broadcaster. It is Matt Hicks. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Kevin and Corey. Good to be able to talk with you guys.
Were you, I know we've started to understand the logic and reasons behind why, but were you surprised when we heard the news yesterday that Bruce Bochy would not be back as the Rangers manager?
Mildly, maybe.
Yeah.
But really, no, because obviously here toward the end of the season, anywhere we went, you know, we would talk with colleagues and other people associated with other clubs. And, the question that we got every time was, you know, is Bochy coming back? You know, when does his contract end? Stuff like this. And to be honest, I don't think I really had a good read. I mean, it sounds like a cop out to say that I was 50-50 on it, which is what I told people. And that's kind of how I felt. I think maybe, really in the last couple of weeks, if I had to lean in one direction, I would have leaned into the direction of no, that he wouldn't be back. Not because, he didn't enjoy managing this club. I think he did. And I think that he was even looking ahead to some things in 2026, but I don't know. Just sometimes you look at someone. Bruce Bochy makes great eye contact. Just the eye to eye contact that I had with him here in recent days, just something told me that he's probably leaning on not coming back. But, you know, I don't know as though, you know, here, certainly here, if we'll know all of the reasons, maybe we will. I found it interesting in the late press conference yesterday with Chris Young, one of the questions that he got asked, his response to that question was that in his conversation with Boch, that he didn't have all the answers. So obviously, you know, Boch had some questions for him, and maybe CY had answers to some of those questions and some of the others he didn't. But if Bochy's asking questions of CY about 2026, clearly there was some level of interest in returning, right?
Or he
wouldn't have asked any of those questions.
When you said that Chris Young said he didn't have some of the answers, correct me if I'm wrong, because I listened to that presser as well. It sounds like, especially when it comes to the payroll, I know he said like they would probably be younger and cheaper, but it still sounded like there was a pretty high degree of uncertainty when it comes to what exactly that payroll will look like.
Yeah, other than the in terms of an exact number, other than the fact that I think we can all fairly confidently assume that it's going to be a lower number than what we've been dealing with here, certainly in 2025 and even 2024. Where that number is going to fall, you know, it would just be speculation on any of our parts. And I don't know, maybe that was one of the questions that he wanted answered. And maybe it was a question that Chris Young, quite honestly, could not answer.
Yeah.
One of the things that we have certainly witnessed during Chris Young's time being in charge is that he has been very creative in figuring out ways to, you know, put 26 guys on the field, and you, you know, you think you might have an idea about in what direction they're going to go, and then, you know, they end up going in another direction. So, you know, I fully believe that CY is going to do whatever he can do with whatever constraints that there may be on him to put the best team on the field, you know, every year that that he's in charge. And, you know, what that number is going to be for 2026 and beyond, you know, who knows? But, you know, how many of us in spring training this year, when the bullpen finally got put together, you know, came out of surprise going, all right, well, our bullpens, they're just going to lock people down.
Right.
And that, you know, we didn't have a bona fide closer. But I think if you are honestly assessing the kind of bullpen that CY put together in 2026 and how they finished and what they did for the course of the year, certainly had to exceed expectations.
Yeah.
You know, and there were a lot of things that were tied together, I think, like Patrick Corbin's performance all year and how he being in the rotation for the entire season and not having to go on the IL helped the bullpen achieve what it was able to achieve. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that get tied together there. You know, there are people that have, you know, career years and or just better seasons or just improved from the previous year. And I think we saw that when it comes to, you know, guys in the bullpen. So, you know, who knows how this is going to all shake out. But I don't think there's any question about the fact that that had to be one of the things that they discussed.
The last 3 years, obviously year one was the most fun because World Series.
Right.
But over these last 3 years, you've gotten to spend a lot of time around Bochy. What are we losing with his exit?
What you're losing is the experience and know-how of how to run a team and a clubhouse on a daily basis. And there really are no comparables right now to what Bruce Bochy has done, not just for the Rangers, but what he did for the Giants, what he did coming up as a younger manager with the Padres. His ability to, you know, when he walks into the room, players look up to him. They respond to him. They understand that he knows what it takes to get them to the top. And so there's just that automatic respect and understanding that this is what we need to point toward, and this is what we need to do to get there. So any other manager that, you know, doesn't have this lofty standing has got to work to earn that respect, to earn the trust of the players in the clubhouse. And that's something that, you know, Bochy didn't really have to work at all when he came here, because everybody, you know, knows who he is and what he's done and how just special he really is. And, you know, and beyond that, he's a humble guy. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
And he's just a lot of fun to be around. And so, you know, we're missing that unparalleled leadership, but we're also missing someone that I think in some way, in some small way, we'd all become attached to. And so, you know, I'm obviously a little sad that he's not going to be back.
Same.
But I mean, you know, CY certainly left the door open. If he wants to take an advisory role in the front office, I think we would all just, you know, love to have him in any kind of, you know, capacity to be associated with the Texas Rangers. But obviously, you know, other things are happening right now, right? It's the end of the regular season. The postseason begins today. There are some managerial openings that are out there. Obviously, with the Giants firing Bob Melvin. There's all sorts of speculation. I don't know. Me personally, I don't see that happening, but like I said, with whether or not Boach was going to be back again, I put that at 50-50. I would not be surprised at anything that does happen here in the next couple of days.
So in the last 8 months, we have seen the trade of Luka, the trade of Micah Parsons. Do you think it is reasonable or perhaps more than reasonable that Rangers fans may see their favorite player go away from the team this offseason?
So I'm wondering, in your opinion, who are Rangers fans? Who's their favorite player?
Well, it's Nathan Eovaldi, obviously.
Well,
no.
And I guess, Hixie, my concern is maybe your favorite player is Seager or Semien or Adolis or Heim or Young. You know, like, I'm concerned that is a huge swath of potential favorite players that may be not with the team anymore.
Yeah. Well, obviously anything can happen. And I said this on one of our, pardon me. I said this on one of our RSN broadcasts the other day when we were asked about predictions for 2026. And that is to expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
And so again, nothing really would surprise me. I think, actually, let me take that back. I think it would surprise me if Nathan Eovaldi were involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just do
any kind of deal.
Agreed.
He is, again, his value beyond what he does as a pitcher. I think there's so much more value there to him being in that clubhouse and being the sort of leader that he is, that I would be surprised if he were involved in something. Now, having said that, I think I would also be surprised if Seager and Semien were involved. But I'm not going to discount that that's certainly a possibility, because when you get back again to the whole money situation and how they want that to look, you know, in 2026 and in years beyond, you can't, as the man in charge, you know, CY cannot take a whole bunch of things and take it off the table and say, well, this is not something that we're going to entertain. So I think that there's probably a lot that is going to be on the table here this offseason. And who knows, you know, who knows where all of that goes. And, you know, Seager still has a number of years left. He's got like, 6 years left on his deal. And I think Semien's got 3 years left on his deal. But, you know, Adolis Garcia would be, arbitration eligible with his contract having just expired. And so how the Rangers handle that, obviously, is a big question mark. I think a lot of people were looking at these last couple of games as being the last time you're going to see Adolis Garcia in a Ranger uniform. That's certainly possible. He might be back for next year. But again, you know, how that plays out, is something that is up in the air, and who knows? I'm not in a position to be a betting man when it comes to who goes and who stays. And
right.
It is certainly something way above my pay grade. So
do you get the feeling, and we haven't really gotten a chance to talk to him, but Skip Schumacher is a favorite in that room,
or the only candidate?
Let's put it this way. If you're Chris Young, Skip Schumacher can't be the only candidate, right? I think you have to vet as many potential managerial candidates as you can. But the fact that he was brought on board, you know, for the 2025 season in an advisory role, clearly a guy who I think has a great deal of respect in the game, you know, was the National League Manager of the Year, 2 years ago, with the Marlins, and I've had a couple of conversations with them, you know, none of them, of great import, nothing that would lead me to believe, you know, one way or the other that, you know, this is something that that he's shooting for. But, you know, you don't bring in a guy of that stature and who has got, you know, a track record of being a manager who in particular did well with a young club. You don't bring him in house if you don't think that, you know, you wanted to have him so that if a situation like this arose, that, you know, he could be one of the leading candidates. And so,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, quite obviously, you know, you've got to consider him as being the top candidate right now. But you'd have to think that there are at least a couple of others that CY would have in mind to want to talk to.
Well, we appreciate you jumping on with us so quickly after a wild 24 hours already. Thank you very much, good sir.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
There you go, Matt Hicks, right here in your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
We're very lucky to have Matt Hicks. I've always, like, since the day one, he's a gem of a broadcaster, dude. He's really good.
And you know what? And if you just look at, like, that trio, obviously Eric Nadel is on with G-Bag Nation every single week. All of the shows talk with Jared all of the time. Hicks is always really giving of his time. And I always think they're insightful. They have different perspectives.
Absolutely different perspectives.
But I always think they're insightful. And like you said at the very beginning of the show, I am sad that we won't get to talk with Boach in-depth baseball stuff every single week. Even if in the grand scheme of things and the direction the Rangers are going to go, this is probably best for all parties. It still sucks. It's a bummer.
Yeah.
For the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Good
coming up next,
us, Kevin.
There's only two things that can cheer Corey up. NFL overreaction and the Tuesday tailgate.
Oh, yes!
We'll do both of those in the expressway next right here on The Fan.
Empty gun this time. Williams was split left, and he comes into the gun and stands on Prescott's left. In the gun. Second down. Quarterback draw up the middle. Prescott into the end zone. Touchdown, Cowboys.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got the Tuesday tailgate coming up, but right now it's time for some NFL overreaction or reality. And I think this is an easy one, but I'm going to go throw it out there. Micah Parsons was talking about the Cowboys-Packers game. He goes, giving up 40 points, bro. I don't care where we're playing. That's just unacceptable for me and everyone. I'm not even point fingers, just like we got to find a way to get off the field. And we didn't do a great job at that tonight. He said he was quote unquote pissed off. Overreaction or reality, you're happy that Mike Parsons was pissed off about that game.
Yeah, reality. Sometimes I think he says things just because it sounds competitive.
Yeah.
You know, like I wonder how much it's really going to affect his day today.
And it's probably best that he doesn't point fingers since he's an important part of that defense that gave up 40 points.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Baldinger posted... he said, Micah Parsons was excellent in the pass rush. He won all the time throughout the night. But Dak was better.
Yep.
And he's and watching Dak get rid of the ball.
Yes.
And Micah Parsons then quote tweeted that and it said, good job for, and with the handshake thing. So
that's nice.
He can be ticked off about it and everything. But the Cowboys had a great plan, and Schottenheimer made sure that Dak understood the urgency of getting rid of the ball quickly, which I think Dak knew anyway. He's like, it's not like he'd never seen Micah play before.
Right.
He understood.
Alec,
he played against him in training camp plenty of times.
I'm going to start with you on this potentially controversial overreaction or reality.
Oh, no.
Overreaction or reality, you kind of want to see a full-on fight between coaches and coordinators at some point. Now, we go back to the Jags and 49ers game. The Jags won because the 49ers turned the ball over 8 million times. And leading up to it, Robert Saleh had praised the Jacksonville coaching staff, or at least that's what he thought it was. And he said, for being able to legally steal signs. Liam Cohen, the Jags coach, he didn't like that. He had words for Saleh after the game. Some people think what he said based on reading lips is, keep your name out of my mouth.
Huh.
And so overreaction or reality, you kind of want to see a coach fight.
Yes.
Or a coaching coordinator fight.
Oh, back to you, Alec.
Thanks, Corey. I'll go reality here. You know why? Because Robert Saleh, if you forgot what he looks like, is absolutely jacked. And I would love to see if any coach out there in the NFL could actually stand a chance against him specifically. Because I think that he's got a lot of pent-up anger after having to deal with the New York Jets organization for a few years. That I think would just be an incredible must-watch fight. But no, I do like when things get interesting between the coaching staffs and they get involved. You know, I do like that little bit of a fire. And for a first-year head coach and Liam Cohen, that shows your team, I'm about everything I say. I'm about everything I do. And I'm about making sure that you guys are protected at the end of the day. So I like it. Give me all the coach fights.
Dude, I think Robert Saleh could whoop most people's ass while wearing flip-flops. And like
that's
he's one of those guys that you're just like, I don't mess with him. But now this makes me want to do a coordinator's bracket and really figure out which ones could destroy whose. Because wasn't there a line coach for Cincinnati that would like he would take his shirt off and wrestle the recruits? Brought us during crosstalk.
It sounds like that might be a different issue.
He would say, hey guys, do y'all want oil or not? And this one has a light lemon scent. Dan Campbell would be one. I think Ben Johnson could square off with Dan Campbell.
No.
I want to. We got to do a bracket now.
Okay. NFL overreaction or reality. There should never be a tie in the NFL or any other North American sport. I know the Europeans, they like the tie.
So you're saying that MLS?
Yeah, no ties. Now, the regular season of MLS, I don't know if you have to be dramatic and go right to PKs. Because
in America, we look at successes.
Did you win or did you lose? Yes.
It's not, it has to be a victory.
Yeah. That's great. You can leave your stadium in Europe saying, hopefully in 8 days we'll win the aggregate. That's great. Like, I need a winner that day.
It's because I don't know how to handle my life if you tie. I don't know how to feel. We all didn't know how to feel yesterday.
Yeah.
Because none of us had ever seen it, except for somebody that was born before the 1968 season.
Right.
But that's, I have no clue. I have no clue how to feel. So yeah, Kevin, I need wins or not. Go extra innings if you have to.
Except in the All-Star game.
In the All-Star game.
Alec.
Save your pitching.
There should never be a tie in the NFL or any other North American sports league.
It's a reality for the exact reason that Corey just said. I don't know. It's 2025 and I still don't know how to feel when teams I root for or watch tie, or any game, really. When I watch any game of any sport that ends in a tie, I'm like, okay, what now?
Do they, in y'all's favorite sport is wrestling, all right? That's your favorite sport. Do they ever have a tie for a belt?
Yes, unfortunately.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, because they'll say it's a draw or a no contest or some BS like that. That's to set up the rematch.
Yep. Double count out or something.
So we have a rematch with the Packers and Cowboys on the way in the playoffs.
Well, if that would be great and confusing.
Because that was part of the agreement.
But like, can you imagine if the Super Bowl happened and they were like, it's pandemonium on the field. All the players have run out. We'll catch you next month for Super Bowl II. Like, and it's a rematch. People might think that's neat one time. They would hate it forever. It's not going to happen.
Oh.
Sorry, Alec. to break that news to you. Yeah. All right. NFL overreaction or reality? Joe Burrow is the only reason Zach Taylor has a job.
Reality.
Oh, man. I didn't even have to give my stats pitch. Well, Alex, just for you. Cincinnati ranks last in offensive points per game. Obviously, Jake Browning is terrible. They got outgained by like 300 yards last night. It is just a catastrophe happening in Cincinnati without Joe Burrow.
Reality. And I'd like to rewind 15 seconds and say reality at the same time that Corey did, because that's the honest truth. It's a bad situation out there. And clearly his ideologies and his schemes are not powerful enough to elevate players, which it's not a foreign concept, but not everybody's good at it. And that's okay. But you see teams like the 49ers do it. It feels like every year where they have some sort of failure of a higher end draft pick
right.
that they have sitting on their bench. And it's like, well, he's never going to play, right? Nope, he needs to play three games. And then he wins three games. It feels like that happens every single year with teams like that. So, and you're not getting that from Zach Taylor, which he's from that tree too. So you would think maybe he's the kind of guy that can elevate people. It doesn't seem like it. That team's bad.
That offensive line's bad too. And you know that you've said that multiple times. The talent of Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, especially Ja'Marr Chase, is the reason that they've been good and effective. When their defense was good, they go to the Super Bowl. So we've seen how that, but what happened? They still didn't have the right offensive line to protect Joe Burrow.
Right.
Even in that season, how many times they got sacked in the AFC Championship game. But Kevin, the talent of Joe Burrow, I really did like last night their attempts to just say, screw it, we're just going to throw deep every time and see if those guys can work out. But it didn't work in the favor. But it made it a little more exciting. That game was... There was a lot of boring stuff last night, but the fact that they were just like, we're just going to throw it. Maybe Higgins is down there somewhere.
Bonus, you would like to retroactively give an MVP to Joe Burrow.
Yes.
Like, because you can look at it now, you're reality. Like, oh, man. All right, NFL overreaction or reality. So once again, we will go back to the Monday Night Football games. Tyreek Hill will never be a good NFL player again.
How old is he?
Man, he's 31, but I think Corey is going to judge this as the dumbest comment made all day. So this morning I go, oh, is that official? Tyreek Hill's out for the year. And Corey just lit me up and he's like, you saw what happened, right? Did you see that? Of course he's out for the
year.
That
was so gross. That was
probably
so
next
gross.
Year too.
I've seen like Ed McCaffrey's injury was gruesome. If you saw Ed McCaffrey's injury in history, you can find it somewhere. When he broke his tibia, like as he lands, you can see the bottom part of it flopping around. Like it's just gross. Mm. And the fact that Hill's knee did what it did last night, my biggest thought on him last night, though, was how excited he was as he was getting taken off on the cart. He's like, I get paid to not have to come into this building anymore.
That's
like,
right.
I'll see you guys later. This is going to be great. I think he's just going to be like, you know what? I can make mine doing something else for the rest of my time. I don't think he's going to be the same explosive guy ever again.
Alec, what say you?
It's unfortunate, but it's a reality. Those injuries in general, no matter who it is just extremely unfortunate to see the gravity of that. And like you said, Kevin, it's probably going to bleed into next year too, because of how many injuries inside of one injury happened. Hate to see those. I don't think because his skill set really requires his body to be in tip-top shape because he needs to be the best athlete on the field to win games. And that's great for him, but when it's not there available to him, I don't know what he's going to bring. And to Corey's credit, he looked very, very happy that was probably the last time he's going to play with Tua.
Now, this next one, I am really excited to get y'all's breakdown on. NFL overreaction or reality? Outside of a quarterback injury, offensive line injuries are the biggest way to derail a season. So, Chargers, Vikings, Bucks, they are all dealing with injuries. And I know people are going to focus on McCarthy for the Vikings, but I think it's the offensive line that's going to take a lot of these teams down.
Yeah, if you have to play with a bunch of backups on your offensive line, and sometimes maybe it's a key position. We used to discuss this when it came to Tyron Smith. Tyron Smith, his highest potential is so much further away than most other backup tackles' best.
For sure.
And even his lowest was very far away from a backup tackle's best. So whenever you, Jerry said this before, and I agree with him on this, when you lose a guy like that, you're losing that level of talent. And so that definitely is the case, I think, for across the board, Kevin. I think if multiple people on your line and if one of your key contributors on your line is gone, that can derail a season.
See, sure. And if you think about it, key contributor, obviously, for the Chargers, you've seen multiple injuries across the Vikings and the Bucs. And I brought up those three teams. By no means are they the only teams. Clearly, we've seen it right here in Dallas, missing offensive line. But these are the higher echelon teams that immediately came to mind when I was like, man, they've already been hit by offensive line. All right, Alec, overreaction reality. Outside of a quarterback injury, offensive line injuries are the biggest way to derail a season.
Absolutely. I mean, you can think about the Chaz Green game just a few years ago instantly if you want to make it local and easy to prove. But yeah, I mean, especially with what some of these teams are expecting their quarterback to do single-handedly at times, you need good protection. And whenever you're talking about guys that can move and throw the ball, like a Lamar Jackson, and not to anywhere near the same degree, but Baker Mayfield absolutely can play off schedule, they still need to draw up certain plays where that is the plan. You can't have them running for their lives and it not be designed every single time. They need to have some sort of sense of consistency.
Now, at least one more for you. Overreaction or reality? Even though they only tied the Packers, you were impressed with the Cowboys' fight on Sunday night. And the reason why I bring that up is because, like I said, after the second touchdown, I thought they were going to get freaking annihilated.
Aside from the Bears game, I've been impressed with their fight all season.
Okay.
I do think that, you know, I know Bobby was very upset about Schottenheimer not going for it and not having the cojones.
Right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Essentially, but the one thing they never seem to quit, and maybe it's because they're still in it, you know, in a lot of these games, that Bears game, they weren't, but they seem to just kind of give what they can, even though their defense is letting them down tremendously. I do see that they're out there, you know, the offense is doing its part. They're fighting, they're battling. So yeah, I was impressed with that, and they saw they had a chance. That's, as you said about the Monday night or the first game of the season, was frustrating because it was right there to win.
Yeah.
And very similar in this one, whereas that's frustrating because it was there to win. Did you hear? Well, I think Jerry Jones will talk about the clock guy here in just a minute. So
yay. Hopefully soon. I'm actually really excited. All right, Alec, what say you?
Reality, and I'm with Corey that most of the season I've been impressed with that fight. And it goes down to the buzzword that some people hate already, culture. I do think that's a good sign of it. I do think that is a feather in the cap of Brian Schottenheimer, because looking back and rewatching that first half, I look at that 2-touchdown deficit and I'm like, Mike McCarthy is not coming back from that last year. If you play that game last year, that game is over. Like you thought it was, Kevin, like I thought it was, like everybody thought it was. But there's just a fight. There's something that you can't measure. You can't put a stat to it or a number. But when you watch that team, they are the same team pretty much throughout the game, and I really envy that for all football fans. I hope everybody can see that for their teams, but it's great to see it here in Dallas.
Can you, good sir, go ahead and give me cut number 10. I appreciate you guys for NFL Overreaction or Reality. We might just bring it back tomorrow if you like.
Hey, anytime. We didn't really have a choice.
That's not what you said when you were booking guests. And right now, in the meantime, that's a joke for two people. It's time for the Tuesday tailgate. We welcome in Carter Freeman and this.
Take it to Pena. Aller, sideline. Oh, it's picked! Dylan Thiedemann calls game. That's a walk-off whiteout winner for the Ducks.
Carter, welcome to the program. And I did it. You did it. We all believed this was the time that James Franklin, he was going to get one of those marquee wins. Instead, he falls to 4-21 against top 10 teams, 1-18 against top 10 teams in the Big Ten. Why do we continue to let the football be pulled out from under us when it comes to this team and this coach?
I look at this game in two ways. That yes, Penn State lost another big game. But I also look at it as these were two very good teams going at it, right? Yeah. One of these teams had to lose.
Yeah.
Penn State ended up losing, but also I understand Penn State lost. I understand James Franklin and the school have a long history of doing things like this. But a good team, if they fall behind 17-3, they don't come back and force overtime.
Okay.
And the thing, too, was Penn State got that pick on the two-point play in the second overtime that set them up to win that game had they ended up scoring in the second overtime. So, yes, I understand Penn State lost. I understand it's easy to clown on them, but I don't completely write them off. I just think this is just an even more of an indictment on, or not an indictment, this is more of a confirmation that Oregon is 100% legit and that Dante Moore, their quarterback, is, if not the Heisman front runner, a top three in the Heisman race right now.
Where would you put Oregon in the Carter top 25 then?
I go back and forth. I had them three. I still have Ohio State one, I think. Holding Washington to out of the end zone last Saturday was impressive. And I still think Miami's lines of scrimmage are among the best in the country, both offense and defense. So I put Oregon at three, but I think beating Penn State on the road in the whiteout, because this is the first whiteout game Penn State has lost since I think 2018. That's impressive. I mean, this is probably the most impressive win of the year. So I launched them up to three, but I still think Penn State is a borderline top 10 team, although they haven't beaten an FBS team yet this year. Both them and Texas are in the top 10. Mm-hmm. Neither of them have beaten a Power 4 team.
You were talking about Miami. Do you get surprised or upset about where game day goes? Like, does that bother you? Because I know some people were bent out of shape about not doing Miami-Florida State.
No, and Florida State loses on Friday night in an incredible game. I mean, that was so much fun to watch.
People live?
As a neutral fan, that was the most dangerous-looking field storm I think I'd ever seen.
Oh,
and I know you guys mentioned it yesterday, but Squirrel White, the Florida State receiver, and the Virginia defensive back, which I didn't even realize that was an interception on that play because the fans just stormed the field so fast.
Thanks.
It was like, as soon as the ball was out of Tommy Castellanos' hands, there were already 50,000 people on the field. But I don't get upset with it. I do like when they go to new places. Like, did you know they've never been to SMU?
Really?
They're one of the few power, and I know SMU is a new Power 4 team.
Yeah.
They're one of the few Power 4 teams they've never been to, them and Illinois. And Illinois is good this year, too, so they might end up going there. But I don't get too bent out of shape about it. And Vanderbilt's a good story because they're going to Tuscaloosa this upcoming weekend, and Vanderbilt's undefeated, and they beat Alabama last year, so I totally get why they would go to Tuscaloosa.
Do you think mostly they did it for Sean, though?
Yeah, because his godson, right, is the Vanderbilt tight end. Yeah, maybe just for him.
By the way, Corey, in case you wanted to know, somebody made a straight-up bet for Penn State on the money line to win that game, and they wagered $1.8 million. So they
would
win.
Do that?
They would win $1.03 million, except that they lost. So
they were going to win less money than they bet.
Well, that's in it. You always get your return bet back. That's the extra money. I'm not saying like here's 1.8, you win. Here you get 1 million, because that would be confusing. It's on top of the
1.8. That's what I'm saying though.
Yes.
If I'm going to bet, I want to bet 35 to win 1,000.
Yeah, I get you.
I'm with Corey on this one. That's not worth it.
They bet on the favorite on the money line.
Yeah.
So you're always going to get a lower return.
I'll pass on that one.
Are you glad that person lost then?
Yes.
Bet on Bama on the road or Bama against Georgia specifically because they're 11-1 and they're 10-1 in their last 11 games against Georgia.
All right. Now, go ahead and give me cut number 9. My question to go along with that is then, does Bama own Georgia, or can Georgia say, we did win a national title, So, like, I don't know if own is the right word, but give me cut nine.
Play action, rolls the pocket right, looking, looking, firing, caught, touchdown Alabama. Isaiah Horton, wide open, back of the end zone, and the Tide leads it 13-0.
Do they own Georgia?
I mean, yeah, 10-1 in their last 11 games against them, and having beaten them twice with Kalen DeBoer, new head coach, right?
Yes.
I think that continues the dominance. And yes, Georgia did win a national title against them. Then they won one again the next year. So they've got two natties in there. So they're probably not as upset as they could be.
Yeah.
It's not as bad of a problem to have as Penn State's problem against top five, top 10 opponents, right? But it is still just a black mark on Kirby Smart's tenure. He's like 70-5 against everybody else, and then 1-7,
how?
I think, now against Alabama. And Alabama's been a dominant force. I mean, even as Georgia's come up, Alabama has stayed a just continual power, and they've continued that specifically against Georgia. And I think as they won on the road, especially in this game, that atones a little bit for the Florida State loss to begin the season.
Do you think that in 2 years, when Paul Feinbaum is in the Senate, he's still going to be talking about these games?
Do you think he's going to beat Bruce Pearl in the Republican primary, though?
Man, what a weird...
I mean, the attack ads between Bruce Pearl and Paul Feinbaum would be amazing. If that's the direction this country
what
wants to go...
What does it come to?
Let's just go all in. Yeah. I'm here for it.
All right. Well, yeah, if you're super into senatorial politics, keep an eye out
on
that. But you know what? I'm going to make another political reference because... For the first time since Dwight D. Eisenhower was the president, the North Texas Mean Green football team, they are not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5-0 for the first time since 1959. Corey, they've moved up to number 33 in the polls.
Good for them.
In the other vote section.
Hey!
Receiving votes is a big thing for them, though. I don't believe UNT has been ranked in the AP poll since Dwight Eisenhower was president. I think it has been that long. So the fact that, and we talked to Eric Morris on Fan University this last weekend.
Yes,
about
y'all
this.
Did.
Awesome conversation with him. They end up winning last Saturday's game against South Alabama to move to 5-0. Just talking about the handling success, because they blow out Washington State at home in their third game. And we're like, okay, you've had these big wins. How do you get the players to handle this? And Morris talked to us about that. They clearly do that on the road against Army the next week. They end up winning by, I believe, double digits against South Alabama in this game. I watched the tail end of it. So they're scoring a ton of points at home. Their defense has just been a revelation with Skylar Cassidy, their new defensive coordinator. So they're off this upcoming weekend. But the following Friday, they host South Florida, who obviously knocked off Florida earlier this year, became a kind of a group of five playoff darling. UNT beats them, goes to 6-0. A ranked North Texas is not going to be far away. And I'm here for it.
Carter,
my little sister went there, so.
Yeah, real quick.
I felt this, man.
The last two games. Yeah, last two games. Caleb Hawkins has been very good. Four touchdowns before, two touchdowns this past week. That running game, like, he didn't have those in the first couple games this year. That's really starting to pick up for him. That's a positive.
And
right
it's
there.
Not just Hawkins. As Bex is another good running back they have. They've been able to, obviously, Drew Mestemaker is their quarterback. He's been the big story because I think up to this point he's started now six career games. And he lost the bowl game last year, but he's won every game this year. But their running backs, they have two or three that they've really been able to spread the ball around to and been able to score off of that. So, I mean, Eric Morris, he played under Mike Leach at Tech. He coached under him at Washington State. He's an air raid guy, and he's managed to take that to UNT in a way that Seth Luttrell, the longtime head coach before that, never really could.
Kevin, it is the third manager that is being relieved of his duties is Ron Washington.
Oh,
they fired him.
Ron Washington and Ray Montgomery will not return as Angels managers in 2026, according to The Athletic.
That's got
to
be a health thing, right? Because he didn't coach since June.
I don't think so because, and you know, we talked about it, Rocco Baldelli also was relieved of his job. So Ron Washington said something, it was like 2 days ago. And he said, I would love to have a conversation with the Angels management. And it almost sounded like he was like really asking, like, hey, will you put a meeting for me on the books? And then all these other candidates were listed. And I was like, oh, man. So I know he stepped away because of health. But this is a real deal firing, because he like was very adamant that he wanted that meeting. He wanted to be back. He wanted to continue to lead the Angels, and they have clearly said no.
Yep. Can they at least get rid of the GM too? Because I think the GM in LA and with Anaheim has been there for a long time. He's hired, I think this would be his fourth hiring if he sticks around, and none of them have worked.
He had a two-year extension in 24.
Bob Melvin got his option picked up in June and got fired this year for the Giants.
The report also did state that there was no true discussion yet on him. So they haven't gotten closure there yet. So
I feel they got just a clean house so they can do it again in 3 years, because that's what the Angels have done ever since they won the World Series.
Yeah, that is fair. Like
23
years
ago.
Well, that sucks. Hey, speaking of cowardly managerial or coaching decisions, how about Arkansas? I'm not saying that they shouldn't have fired their coach.
I love Sam Pittman, but yeah, he just could never figure it out there.
So I don't know if it was the four first half touchdowns from Jeremiah Love that really did him in, but we're going back to Bobby Petrino as the interim, huh?
Which I feel like they want him to. They never wanted to fire him. Bobby Petrino got himself fired with the motorcycle dude beating the crap out of him because he was sleeping with his girl. Whatever you may believe, back in 2012, Bobby Petrino got himself fired because that was coming off Arkansas's best season, probably a top three season in that program's history. Yeah. He got himself fired. They never wanted to get rid of him. Now, because it's Arkansas and they just end up doing odd things, you know, Rhett Lashley at SMU, former quarterback from Arkansas. He's got a history there. There's a ton of other group of five coaches that like Alex Galesh at South Florida that could end up there. But it seems like they're letting Bobby Petrino clean out the defensive staff too. They're giving him personnel decisions. If they win, if they end up bowl eligible, not be surprised if he ends up staying as their head coach.
Wow.
It didn't work up at Louisville long term. The only reason he had success at Louisville was because they had freaking Lamar Jackson. But if they do good things for the rest of the season, then I would not be surprised if he stays.
Is the USC football team soft? Like, they made the comeback against Illinois only to maybe inevitably lose the game. And you talked about it. Illinois is soft. I just saw a couple different areas where it's like, whether it's getting bullied on the line of scrimmage or just the give up in the final field goal drive, this felt like a game that USC would figure out a way to lose.
When your coach is a punk, I think that's kind of where it starts.
Well, when a strength and conditioning coach, and I don't know if Benny Wiley is still there, but he was literally like a gym huckster is what he was. He was not like an established strength and conditioning guy. And I think that showed at the end of his tenure with Oklahoma is the level of athleticism that his player showed was not up to even the Big 12 level, let alone Big 10 or SEC, wherever he was going to end up as a head coach. And so far in his tenure at USC on the road, all of these East Coast road games that USC has played, they've lost. They've lost them very close. They've been competitive, and they've had a lead against Maryland, against Minnesota, and against those are all last year, and against Illinois on Saturday. But they found a way to pee away these games at the end of regulation. It's an unfortunate pattern, but there's definitely a pattern involved, and I don't think it's the most surprising thing that that's what ended up happening.
Did Wake Forest get jobbed against Georgia Tech?
Yeah, it was definitely a neutral zone infraction, right?
And that would have set up the first down that would have ended the game.
If it would have ended the game, yes, they got jobbed. I always go back and forth on, okay, you can't always rely on the referees. You do have 11 guys on the field. I think if you feel you got screwed, go make a play, go make something happen, and then you don't have to worry about it. But then they clearly didn't, and Georgia Tech, you know, got away. And once they got to overtime, Georgia Tech made the plays, and Wake Forest didn't.
And I think Georgia Tech was out of timeouts.
They were.
So, and that's why I say
they had two possessions. Yeah. The first possession with no timeouts went nowhere, and they ended up getting the ball back. And it was a long field goal to tie that game too. So credit to them. But yeah, that was definitely a missed call. But Wake Forest also had a lot of time to make plays too.
Now, outside of A&M being 4-0 for the first time in 9 years, despite committing all of the penalties, is there anything else you think we should know?
That's just an Auburn thing, because when Auburn played Oklahoma the week before, OU and Auburn had, I think, 22 combined penalties for almost 200 yards. So I think when you play Auburn, and Auburn has a very good defense. I do want that to be known.
Yeah.
They did a lot of good things against OU. They did a lot of good things against A&M on Saturday. But when you sink your hopes into Jackson Arnold, who we saw last year with a good defense, couldn't move the ball. And then it was basically deja vu this past weekend. Auburn had the ball at the end of the game with a chance to win. Jackson Arnold holds onto the ball too long. He gets sacked on the final play or the final couple plays, and Auburn loses. And Auburn gets Georgia. They get a couple more tough SEC games to end the season. If they don't figure something out on offense, which I don't expect them to do, I would be surprised if Hugh Freeze keeps his job by the end of the year.
Ooh, well, as always, Carter, we very much appreciate it and love having you in studio, good sir. Where can people hear you?
Fan University this Saturday, 9 to noon. We are efforting on a big-time Texas college coach. We'll see if that ends up happening, but we'll talk all the big games. I mean, we got Vandy, Alabama. We've got Florida State, Miami. It's a weekend in college football. Literally, there's no off weeks. You can think, oh, we don't have all these ranked matchups. No, there's always something to watch. Believe me.
I love it. Thank you very much, good sir. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Oh my gosh, it is time for the Level of Concern. Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.